Good morning. I'm just a physics teacher. I guess I took a wrong turn. But anyway, we're here, so we might as well talk a bit. My name's Mike. How are you? Good. It's a beautiful fall day out there. And the reason I'm here, The reason I'm up here today is simply because last week they introduced a new song called, called Together. Remember that song? And I really thought we were going to sing it before I got up here, so this is awkward. But I guess we're going to sing it afterwards. But it talks about how God tells all things together. And as we were singing that song last week, I don't know if you've had this experience here, but I've had it several times. When you're singing a song sometimes and all of a sudden you're just transported, you're taken to another place, you're taken right into the heavenlies with God, right? And that one really did it for me. And I don't, it'll hopefully become more apparent why, but it really grabbed me, and I was thinking how true it is that God holds all things together, and how powerful a truth that is from the galactic level all the way down to the atomic level and the things that make up our existence that you can see up there. So I'm going to take you into my physics classroom for a few minutes first, okay? Now, don't run screaming from the room. I know there's a lot of people out there who have had physics trauma. You know, you signed up for this course in high school and you thought it was phys ed. It wasn't. They subjected you to diagrams and dropping things and rolling things and charges and all kinds of things, and all of a sudden you realize, oh man, this is going to be a long year. And some of you didn't like it at all. I really apologize for that if you had a physics teacher who just droned on and on. But anyway, there's a lot of great stuff that we can learn about God just by observing the things that he has made and the way he has made them to act with each other. So, remember that thing called electric charge? Maybe you got to that somewhere in your studies of physics, hence the balloon. It's always my first challenge is when we start this unit, I have students do something like this. This is just an empty seltzer can. And I always have students say, okay, I want you to take the balloon, and I want you to make that can roll without touching it. Or I want you to take that balloon, I want you to stick it to the wall or something. And, of course, they puzzle over it. That's the first thing they do. I don't say anything about it. I just, and all of a sudden, what? Holy moly. All right. And then, so, you know, I say, okay, so like, we can say that like charges attract. Like charges attract, like these ones up here, okay? Now you're getting exposed to some of the artwork I subject my physics students to, all right? So like charges attract, but, all right, here's where I guess I made a mistake by choosing the handheld microphone. Stay. But opposite charges repel. Opposite charges repel. You know that. You know that from physics. How's my hair? You know that from life in general. Like opposite things attract. Opposite things attract and like charges repel. There was one more thing. Oh, we'll do that one later. So how are we so far? Let's do a check for understanding so far. Are we thumbs up on this? Are we thumbs down on this? Are we a thumbs in the middle? We're still wondering why is he droning on about physics. Okay, we got mostly thumbs up. Okay, all right. So most of you are with me, so let's proceed. We're going to buckle your seatbelts a little bit. We're going to go down to the subatomic level with me. So atoms have a positively charged nucleus, right? And they have these negatively charged electrons buzzing around. That's what it looks like. Again, the artwork. So you can have an original Mike Lynch later on if you like. I can sign that for you. So they're not really buzzing. Or are they? They might be. Here's apparently what electrons orbiting a nucleus really look like. Can you guess what decade this physics textbook was written? The positively charged mommy with negatively charged little boys running around. I just had to put that one up. But we digress. Anyway, electrons are tiny negative charges that orbit a positively charged nucleus. So far, that's okay. We can do that because we know something holds them together. That electrostatic charge holds them together. So the electrostatic charge is kind of like the string that holds this, the string that holds this together to my hand. I can make it orbit things, right? I can make it orbit things for a while unless I happen to let it go. Oops. So a carbon nucleus, though, is very mysterious. It's very mysterious because it's got 6 protons and 6 neutrons and 6 electrons. What a great number, huh? 6, 6, and 6. It's what makes up most of your life, what makes up most of planet Earth, is carbon. Now, what do you see huddled together inside the nucleus of the atom? Anybody? Neutrons and? Protons. And what was the charge of a proton that we said? Positive. And what do protons and positives and positives do to one another? They repel. They repel. So, and we, positives are, protons are positive, right? There are a bunch of protons in every carbon atom. In fact, every single atom that makes up the entire universe has multiple protons in it. And they are all packed together in this incredibly dense little nucleus right next to each other. And they repel each other. Therefore, according to what we know so far, every atom in the universe should instantly just go, blow apart. Everything should completely atomize immediately. The stuff that you and I are made of, these atoms, they don't make sense. But atoms don't do that, thankfully. They don't spontaneously blow apart. Most atomic nuclei are very incredibly stable. So here is the $60 trillion question. What holds the protons together? What holds an atom like carbon together? Back in the 1930s, physicists proposed that there was another force that existed. A force so powerful that it could overcome that repulsive force of protons against each other. In fact, they think that it's the strongest force in the universe. So they named it. Are you ready? They really had to stretch their vocabulary for this one. The nuclear strong force. Creative, aren't they? These physicists. And they named it and they concluded that this was what held the protons together. The problem is, they have no idea how it really works. No idea. They just know that it works. They just know that something is holding the protons in the nucleus of every atom in the entire universe, including you, together. You know what? You want to know what I think about that? And being a physics teacher, I think it's our God. Our God who holds those protons together. It makes protons tightly hold to protons, our all-powerful God who holds together the very atoms and molecules that make up the universe and our planet and you and me. He holds all things together. Now, you probably haven't stayed awake nights worrying about this, how protons stay together and whether your atoms are going to explode, anything like that. But you have stayed awake nights worrying about things in and around you. Things that are exploding. Things that are out of control. So you and I have both a good reason to realize and to hang on to the truth that God holds all things together. This ethnic group had a storied and rich history of heroes and heroines, of divine interventions and judgments, of survival against all odds. Yet at this time, they had been conquered, overrun, and completely subjugated by a foreign army. Their cities were sacked, their farms were burned, their people were taken into captivity, not for a few months or even just a few years, but for 70 long years. They were displaced, they were discouraged, they were downtrodden. Where was God? Where was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Where was Yahweh, their creator and defender? Had he abandoned them? Had he given up on them? Had he simply lost control of the world? The ethnic group I'm talking about, of course, is Israel. And into that black and confusing time in which they lived, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. A prophecy spoken and written down 250 years before any of that had ever taken place, before the captivity. That's the cool thing about prophets. They speak God's truth into the future. It could have been written right then. And here is what the Lord God said. Follow along with me. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level and rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what? What shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it. A goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor for such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes. Look at the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. People of God, friends, listen. The word of our God stands forever. It is as true now as it was when that people, Israel, were in captivity and they were reading it and listening to it, as it was 250 years before that when it was spoken by the Lord to the prophet Isaiah. The word of our God stands forever. When you are in captivity, the word of our God stands forever. When you are in distress, when the world seems to be blowing apart all around you, the word of our God stands forever. Do not be afraid, he says. Shout it. Shout it. Here is our God. He sits enthroned above the earth. He stretches out the sky like a canopy. He calls the stars by name. And yet that huge, powerful God tends his flock like a shepherd, carries them close to his heart, gently leads those who have young. Here is your God. He is the sovereign Lord who comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. He reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. And he renews the strength of the weary. He is wise beyond our understanding, strong beyond our imagining. He lets people play at politics and think that they rule the world. They don't. They didn't create it. He did. And they don't love you, but he does. And they don't last long, but our God is everlasting. He has no equal. There is no one comparable, no power more powerful. He makes the impossible possible. God, our God, holds all things together. The universe, the world, every atom, even you. He holds all things together. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. God holds all things together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the midst of a world that often seems quite out of control, going in directions that are far from the directions that you have set out for your creation, straying far from your righteousness and our holiness, messing things up so badly that our planet is becoming almost uninhabitable. In the midst of all that, in the midst of the chaos that is the world, and sometimes the chaos that often describes our lives, you are there, the solid rock, the eternal one, our Father, our Creator, our God, and you hold all things together. Lord, there are people here today who need to know the reality of your embrace. They need to know that you love them and you are caring for them and you are holding them close to your heart. And I pray you would do that for them today. There are those who are seeing things buzzing around them out of control. The circumstances of life are so crushing and so chaotic that they feel powerless to do anything. But your power is beyond anything that we can possibly imagine. And you have the power to hold those lives together too. Lord, our planet is in chaos. People are against other people. Lives are being lost daily. Lord, into this chaos, would you speak your word of power? And would you hold all things together? Hold us, Lord. Hold us together. Hold us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.